Pastor Joe is 32 today.
Woo!
So I think we need to sing a happy birthday. Could y'all stand? I mean, come on. We're honoring this guy. I know, but I got a mic. You don't, so. Well, you do, but we both do. Oh, look at this.
Thank you. Please have a seat. Well, since you know it's my birthday, you have to endure my lame joke that I've been telling everybody. So I turned 32 today, which means there's only one more year that I'm allowing any of my friends to kiss me on the cheek, because we all know that when you turn 33 and people do that, you just might get arrested when that happens. Does anybody know the reference? Jesus was 33. Judas betrayed him with a kiss. Lame joke. Okay. You can blame that on Pastor Ryan for making note it was my birthday. All right. So one more year of this. All right. Let me just give a couple of announcements. Thanks for singing Happy Birthday. That was great. Thank you. Couple of announcements. First, this Wednesday night, we'll have a prayer meeting again. We have an all-church prayer meeting every last Wednesday of the month, so we encourage you to come from 7 to 8. There is child care available if you need some child care, but please call the church office ahead of time so that we can reserve help for that, but we encourage you to come. This is the last week of our Counting Change sermon series, so next month we are going to start a new series called Hear, Narrate, and Share as we go over the different phases of our mission statement. We're just going to take it phrase by phrase and illustrate what it might mean to hear, to narrate, and to share. So we encourage you to tune in to that. As we announced last week, we're going to have our chili cook-off just a few weeks from now on the 21st of September. So we encourage you to bring your best chili recipe on the 21st, because there will be a cook-off and there will be two prizes this year for the chili. The first one will be the people's choice, of course, to see who has the best chili in the show. But also, we're going to have a mystery award that we're not going to reveal until the day of the chili feed, which you might think that's unfair, and we think it's funny that it's unfair. So it could be like the most unique color of chili, or the most international form of chili, or the most mild chili, since we had the hottest chili last year. Nobody knows. So you'll find out on the day of. So we encourage you, if you'd like to contribute, if you'd like to help set up or tear down or bring a dessert, there is a sign-up sheet in the lobby that you can sign up on, or you can also go online and you can register digitally for the event. We encourage you to come. We're going to have a bounce house for the kids. We're going to invite our neighbors out, and we'll have other things going on. It's going to be a fun time. Two Saturdays from now is the men's breakfast, so all the guys in the room, so I want to encourage you that not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, we'll get together for breakfast from 7:30 to 9 here at the church. And just one note, you'll see in the weekly that the women's fellowship breakfast, which would normally be on the 14th, is not going to happen in the month of September. A couple of the leaders who normally put that together are unavailable that day, so they're going to postpone this month, but they will resume in the month of October. Other announcements are in the weekly or online or on the Facebook page. If you're a visitor with us, we thank you for coming and checking us out and making us part of your weekend. There is a guest card in the seat in front of you. If you don't mind taking that out and filling it out and putting it in the offering box in the back on your way out, so that we can get some more information to you about Faith Community Church. Well, let's jump right in this morning. We're going to finish Counting Change this morning. As a way of summary, the last few weeks we've talked about different levels of Christian connection, and we've named them after different currency in the American dollar currency lingo. And so we talked about the first week of the quarters, or that large crowd of people that we need to belong to, where we can hear all the good things that God is doing in many different lives around us. And then we talked about pennies, about how we have a walk with God personally, where Jesus has a call for our life. He's got things for our life, and so we must cultivate and take care of our life with God as we walk with God. But then last week we talked about dimes, or those groups of 10 people where we gather together in a circle. We get to know people, know their stories, open up the scripture with one another, learn from one another, pray for one another, and encourage one another on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. We call those faith groups here at Faith Community Church. But today we're going to talk about the nickel. And so let's read from Mark chapter 6. And then after we read, we'll jump right into the nickel subject. So let's read Mark 6. We'll start at 6b, the second half of the verse 6 of Mark, because there's a new story that develops from there. So Mark 6, verse 6b. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for your journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Let's pray as we hear from God's word together this morning. God, we are grateful of this time where we get to open the scriptures again and to be led with these words, how you've taken up this text and you desire to lead your church through these words. And so we give our careful attention. We open up our hearts and our minds to these words and we ask for your help. We confess that it takes you to know you and to follow you. And so we ask for more of you today, God, than we had yesterday. We confess our reliance upon you. We ask that you'd help us in our time of need and allow our minds and our hearts to be transformed as we give ourselves faithfully to the scripture text. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I just want to, at the very beginning here, define what I believe to be a nickel group. My wife Ginger was hanging out with some of the other gals of Faith Community Church on Friday, and they're all taking a guess of what the nickel could be. So let me go and give you the definition, then I'll spend the rest of the time unpacking why I think this is what it means. A nickel group is a group of around five people who connect together but also serve together. So it doesn't have to be exactly five, even though a nickel is worth 5 cents. But this is something smaller than a dime group, but it's more than obviously ourselves, yourself, myself, serving in ministry. But these are moments where we can connect with other people, serve inside the church, and serve outside the church. And the reason that I think this is a peculiar idea is because the nickel itself is a peculiar coin. And I received this kind of fresh and new, the realization of this, when I was trying to teach Avery what all the different coins were in her piggy bank. We've been giving her coins ever since she took interest in it. You know, it's going to help pay for her college someday. Probably not. So we've been teaching her about it. And so she had them all out. And I was trying to tell her the difference. And we kept getting hung up on the nickel because, like the dime and like the quarter, it's silver. And it's large, kind of like a quarter, so she kept calling them quarters. And the way that I tried to communicate that it wasn't a quarter, even though it was silver, it was that it was smooth on the edge and not jagged like a quarter. And so the nickel is kind of a hybrid coin. It is silver, like a quarter and a dime, obviously, but it's also like a penny because the surface on its edge is smooth. And so in the same way, the nickel group is a hybrid between the dime in the penny. It's something in between the gathering with 10 people for mutual encouragement and learning about the faith, and then just walking with Jesus on our own. We do connect with other people like the dime group, but we serve instead of study. We gather a vision and a strategy together to serve either inside the needs of the church or outside in the community or in the world around us. And so the nickel group is something that we need to spend some particular time on. And we see Jesus do this in Mark chapter 6. He has 12 disciples, but what we see in verse 7 is that he begins to break them down into smaller groups. Once again, I draw our attention back to verse 7. It says this, calling the 12 to him, Jesus began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. Now, there's not five in a group here, but there are two in a group here. So Jesus sees the need to break down his group of 10 or 12, his disciples, that dime group that are in community together, and to begin to dispatch them into ways of serving in his world. And so what I want to suggest is that from this passage and from their missionary journey, there are three key ideas that help us as we engage in service in the local church community. The first one is this, is that our opportunity to serve does not have to have perfect circumstances. Usually when we talk about serving in the church, we try to find what people's gifts and proclivities are, and we try to match opportunities in the church with their skill set and with their, you know, particular temperament and personality in the church. So we try to make good matches for them, which that's a great practice. But I've been challenged by Mark chapter 6 because as we look at this story, Jesus sending out his disciples at this moment in the story is not the most perfect of times to send out his followers into the world. As a matter of fact, if you were to look at the story right before this, we see that Jesus is in Nazareth, his hometown. And that we kind of touched on this a couple of weeks ago. Jesus goes to Nazareth, and you and I would assume that he returns home. He's got home field advantage. Things will go well when he goes to his hometown. But if you shoot your eyes back up to verse 5, we see that that is not the case. As a matter of fact, Mark says this in Mark 6, 5. It says, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. So Jesus, the story that we're sharing today is right on the heels of Jesus having maybe an unsuccessful ministry trip to his hometown. Now, if I were in like a publicist for Jesus and I was trying to help his image, you know, stay, you know, as good as possible, I'd say, Jesus, things didn't go so well in Nazareth. Maybe you should send out an email that says that you're taking a season of study and rest. And we'll just get this bad experience behind us a little bit in the rearview mirror. And we can start all the way over. We can go as far away from Nazareth as possible. Perhaps word hasn't spread. Perhaps somebody hasn't tweeted about it yet. And we can like start fresh and new at another time. But Jesus doesn't do that. He has a miss attempt or something kind of a struggled attempt there in Nazareth. And he just... And he moves on, and he sends his followers after this failed attempt. But you'll notice also right after this story, meanwhile in Jerusalem, John the Baptist, who was a favorite one of Jesus and is a cousin of Jesus, that shared more or less the same message of the arrival of the kingdom of God, he just loses his head in the story after this one because of what he's been preaching and teaching and telling King Herod. So in between this story that we're sharing, Jesus had a struggle ministry attempt in Nazareth, and somebody who's sharing in the same message is getting his head cut off because of the things that he's saying. I think once again, as Jesus' publicist, I'd say, yeah, I think we need to let this one air out a little bit. But Jesus doesn't do that. He sends his followers out. Anyway, it wasn't a perfect situation. It was probably a struggle to send them out. Jesus may even have been a bit concerned about where they were going and what they were going to say and what was going to happen to them. But Jesus sent them anyway. And another thing that I'd like to notice about this story is that if we can read it alongside when Matthew and Luke share this story, Mark leaves out so many details. He doesn't give a big report about what happens after they return like Luke does. He doesn't give a specific time of season that it happened like Matthew does. Mark just gives a generic picture of Jesus sending out his followers. So if we put these two pieces together, we see this beautiful picture of service. It doesn't have to be perfect, and it can happen all the time. As a matter of fact, in the church, it's always serve a clock. There's not a better time or a worse time to serve. What Mark is getting out to us here is it's always time to serve. God is always in the mood for us to serve and to help others to discover the kingdom of God. One of the coolest ways I saw this take place in our church was during vacation Bible school, because to pull off vacation Bible school was a Herculean effort for a few people. But there are many others who were also doing some advisory and some support roles. But I love the teachers that we had for vacation Bible school, because they went with their kids at each and every station. But something that you need to know about some of the teachers that we had, if they were to like pull you aside, they would be like, they would probably whisper it to you. They would say, I really don't spending a lot of time with kids. Like, if they were to like sign up for something to do in the church, kids would not be at the top of their list. But because it was a need in our community, and because it was a need for ministry among us, they signed up anyways. And they gave their heart to it. And they didn't try to lord it over their pastor like, well, pastor, you really owe me one here because I served in a way that I don't normally like to serve. That should be an encouragement to us. We don't have to be in the best mood.
We don't have to have the most stellar faithfulness to Jesus at times. We simply have to have our hearts open to serve. Serving does not take perfect circumstances. Because here's the secret, there's never a perfect time to serve. We'll always find an excuse not to serve. So what Matthew is sharing with us here as we look at how the story is going and the flow of the narrative is, just go serve. Doesn't have to be a particular time. Doesn't have to be the safest of times. Just go serve. Secondly, there is joy in serving and community. Notice that Jesus doesn't just take the 12 and say, there are 12 villages out there. Each of you go on your own and just good luck. But he takes them out two by two. Now, this seems to be a bit of something cultural for Jesus as a Jew, for them to send people out in pairs. You'll notice that in the book of Acts, as the first missionary journey takes place from Acts 13, there's a pair that goes from there. There seems to be this team mentality whenever a travel ministry took place or a service took place among the people of God. Because what this allows us to do is it allows us to see that serving in community allows us to see the communal giftedness of the church. Because not all of us have the same gifts. Not all of us have the same strengths. So when we serve in teams, when we serve in the context of community, we're able to see what God can do, something that exceeds more than the sum of our parts. So when you and I share ministry with other people, we're encouraged and we grow deeper in friendship with one another. I remember one of these experiences for me was to go on a missions trip to Ukraine. I got to lead some college students to Ukraine about 15 months ago, and the first meeting I had with my team, I was not really encouraged, because as we went around the table and everybody kind of told their stories and the reasons why they were going to Ukraine, I found out that only one person on the team had ever been an overseas missions trip before. The rest of them were going because they wanted to see the world, and they wanted to see Europe. And so I looked at that team, and many of them, like when I said, hey, we're going to do a devotion, turn to 2 Corinthians. They kind of like did the whole thing where they started in Genesis and tried to flip forward and find the play, you know, like they're doing this and where is that at, you know? And I thought, man, it's going to take you a long time to get there and you're probably going to miss it. And so I had this team and I'm like, God, you're going to have to do something because I don't know how this is going to go. And one of our guys actually had two tickets with the TSA security team because of two things he had in his past. I wasn't even sure we're going to get him out of the country as we went to Ukraine. And so I looked at that. I thought, wow, how is this going to go? But let me tell you, that those 2 weeks together, all the late nights that we spent, the ministry that we did together, we now have 1,000 inside jokes between us. We now have so many fun stories and pictures and things that we'll never forget. And I would have not have connected with any of these individuals if it wasn't for getting on a few planes, going over to Ukraine and sharing in ministry together. Some of us, if your major concern about your church life so far is that you know, I'm still kind of new and I haven't met anybody. I haven't met folks. My encouragement to you would be is to begin to serve alongside somebody, and you will not only be connected with somebody else, but you'll do ministry together. It's almost like a double blessing that you can do together. But your main concern might be, well, I don't have gifts for church ministry. What could I possibly do to help Jesus in ministry? Well, I have a bit of an image that I want to show you. This is Blake Griffin. Many of you, if you follow the NBA, know who Blake Griffin is. He is slam dunking, and he's hanging with his elbow on a 10-foot rim. Wow, right? This guy is an athlete. Superior athlete. And you might think a guy with that type of athletic skills, he could do whatever he wants. He doesn't need any other teammates. But you know, basketball's got 5 members on a team. And Blake could not do what Blake does if he didn't have his teammates. As a matter of fact, he's sponsored by the Jumpman, the Air Jordan company. And they're doing this viral campaign to sell shoes. And they made a really funny commercial that I want to show you because it illustrates the power of what we could do if we could put our gifts together. Can you guys show that video? You got the clip over and then show the video for us.
Hey, old school, you want to run?
Nope.
Daryl Drain, we'll go for a run.
Daryl Drain, huh? Can you shoot?
Can a butterfly sing?
Aging Dr. Drain. Blake Drain. Dr. Drain is calling for rain.
Oh.
shoot the J. I'll wink at you. I'm your puppet. I don't miss. I'll do funny things if you want me to. I'm your puppet.
That's one of Avery and I's favorite commercials. She actually has it memorized. We watched it 50 times in one day, and it's her favorite commercial now. But you see the image there is Daryl Drain, or Dr. Drain, thought he could make three-pointers, but he couldn't. But see, Blake Griffin needs a good alley-oop every now and again, and the gifts of the two worked beautifully together. Now, apart, they don't go so well. As a matter of fact, if you saw at the beginning of the commercial, Blake Griffin wasn't excited about having Dr. Drain on his team. But towards the end, they were the best of friends because their gifts added together. Now, some of us kind of feel like Blake Griffin. I mean, we've been in church a while. We've kind of got our gifts figured out, and we're just looking for somebody to come alongside of us and do them. And some of us, I think, feel like Dr. Drain, where we look at what we bring to the table. It really isn't much. But you never know what could happen if the Dr. Drains and the Blake Griffins of the church come together. Something beautiful that could happen. So I want to share that as this is encouragement. No one is excluded from this opportunity. No one is excluded. Everybody's gifts, quirky personalities, and things that they love and enjoy are involved in serving in the local church. But the last thing I want to share this morning, the last observation, is that we need to serve without building a monopoly. We need to serve without leaving a trace. What's interesting about this passage is that this passage does begin to illustrate the elusive nature of ministry. Because here we see that the disciples of Jesus could cast out demons. The editorial summary in verses 12 and 13 show that the disciples were not only sent out, but they came back. And sure enough, they were casting out demons. They were healing sickness. But something interesting happens in Mark's story as we go further. Because if you go to Mark chapter 9, Jesus spends some time on a mountaintop with God and a couple of his followers. And when they come down from the mountain, we see that some painful experiences are being had by his other disciples who are down at the bottom of the mountain. Because there's a guy who had a son who had epileptic seizures. His son was in a terrible situation. And this guy brought his kid to the disciples because he might have even heard that they were these ones who went to villages and they cast out demons. But something happens in Mark chapter 9, verse 18. They can't cast out demons. They can't cast out the demon of this particular guy's son. So they could one moment, but they could not the next. That's the elusive nature of ministry. God may use us for a particular situation and circumstance and event, but once that happens, we should not have the impulse to say, well, I'm always going to be gifted. I'm always going to have the opportunity to serve in this way. We don't build monopolies in the church. Now, it's fine to recognize giftings and proclivities and say, you know, so-and-so has been talented at this. So-and-so is a good teacher. So-and-so makes the best chili recipe. So-and-so is a very hospitable person. So-and-so throws the best parties at their house. But what we should not say is, and nobody else measures up. Because who knows if God's not raising somebody else up to take care of that event, that situation, or that need in the church. But also what we see is that Jesus, as he sends these guys out, notice how he wants them to have a hands-off type approach to their missionary journey. Everything that he says in his commands, nearly everything, is in depletion. He says, do not take a bag with you. Only take your staff. Don't take bread. Don't take this. Don't take that. And he even says, if you are successful and people receive you, stay as long as possible, then move on. But if they do not receive you, knock the dust off your sandals as a testimony against them. What Jesus is saying is leave no trace. You notice what Jesus is not saying? He's not saying, hey guys, I'm going to send you to these villages and I want you to plant a church and I want you to name it the First Church of the two disciples of Jesus that came to our place one summer. He said, let's not pour the concrete. Let's not leave a trace or build a monopoly. You go serve, and you leave no trace, which is a beautiful way to do ministry. Because if we have the mentality that it's always up to us, or we're the one with the gifts, or we're the one that should belong, guess who's beginning to receive some of the notoriety and the fame and the glory? And guess who's not? So this is a challenge for us, is to serve, to give our lives, to lift up others and to serve people. But can we do it in such a way where we do not leave a trace? I think this is why it's important to, once again, going back to the second point, is to do this in community. Because if anyone is getting out of line, if anyone is boasting about ministry that's being done, somebody else in your nickel group can go, you know what, Joe, this is not about you, man. Remember when we first dreamt this up and we had the vision and we had the excitement and we were all dedicated to serving one another and to serve others? We seem to have lost that. Let's go back and get that. That's why this thing works best in a small group of five. But ultimately, what I want to lead to is that this passage shows us that the reason that we need nickel groups is because God's love is meant for the whole world. Once again, Jesus sent his disciples out in a very challenging situation. Right before, they were neglected and they were resisted in Nazareth, and their friend John the Baptist is losing his head in Jerusalem. But Jesus sends out people anyway. Once again, as Jesus' therapist or counselor, I would say, you know, it'd be good to not send your friends out into this situation. But you can imagine if we were to have that conversation with Jesus, that he would say something like this: I need to send them because everybody counts and everybody matters. Even though this is a challenging situation, even though this is going to be perhaps hard service or something that's going to challenge my followers deeply, everyone in those villages matter. So we still send. So we still serve. That's the message I think you and I need to capture this morning, because there are people in our lives that God is calling us to serve, but we're being so challenged to do so. Like, for instance, this morning, perhaps you went by your favorite coffee place to get properly caffeinated for the morning, and somebody in an SUV cut you off and you wanted to say some choice words. Well, that person has a name, and that person matters. The person who's frustrating you and I at the workplace, I can't name names because they're the staff here. Okay, so someone who's frustrating you in your workplace, okay? That person who irritates you and you're just dreaming of the day that an email comes across in all caps, so-and-so has been relieved of their duties at this company. And you're thinking about, like, bringing out some streamers and, like, getting everybody together for a celebratory lunch. That person's got a name, and they matter. The neighbor who's a nuisance, that person who's been rubbing you the wrong way for years, the family member who frustrates you every time that you're around them, that person matters. This morning, if you've come in here and you feel completely bogged down by life, you feel crushed because of circumstances, you feel like there's no hope, like there's a dark canopy over you or a dark cloud or whatever metaphor you want to use, I want to share with you this morning that the reason Jesus sent out his followers in this passage, the reason that he sends them out today, is because you matter. You've been created in God's image. He knows every painful thing you've been through. Every frustrating, damaging time and experience you've ever endured, and you matter. The reason any of us in this room who are Christians can say that we're Christians is because somebody took seriously this axiom that everyone matters, and they included us. The reason that you and I need to serve, and the reason this could be a challenge for us, is because we, once again, need to capture this idea: every single person counts. And there's something within you and something within me that if we put those gifts and that creativity and that joy and that passion together, people can be won, people can be received, people can hear that the God of the universe knows that they matter. That's why we serve in groups. That's why we engage in serving one another. As a matter of fact, I want to encourage us. If you're looking at your change and as you're counting your own change, if you don't find that you have a nickel, this is the moment to begin to ask some questions. How can I begin to connect with others and serve? There are several areas in our church that we need some people to serve with their creativity and with their passion. As a matter of fact, our children's director, Beth Church, she has not been to a worship service since she came aboard officially on staff in January. And wouldn't it be a joyful thing to look, for me it would be at least, something I'm dedicated to, is to look out and see her sitting next to her husband Jensen once a month in worship service. So we need to ask the question. We to kind of wrap up our sermon series together, we need to begin to ask this question with one another. Do you have 41 cents? And that seems like a random number, but if you add the quarter, the dime, the nickel, the penny together, that's 41 cents. So the challenge that we have as a staff and for this community is for us not just to connect in Christian community in the most place that's the most comfortable. Some of us feel like the only thing that we'd like to have in connection with the church is just to come and to worship on Sunday, to kind of work on our own life with God, which we do value the penny. But I'm going to challenge you to find your nickel, to find your dime, and to join your quarter. Because all of us need 41 cents. There are some of us who we're just unsure of what God is doing in our church. What are the things that God is doing in other people's lives? And we seem a little bit out of touch with what God is doing in the wider world. And so what I would encourage you to do is that the next time your quarter leader calls or the meeting is planned or the event is advertised, that you plan on showing up even though crowds of people terrify you. It's because we see the vibrant Christian experience expressed in four different commitments of connection. The large group, the group of 10, the group of 5, and the group of 1. So do you have 41 cents today? As you reach into your pocket and you pull out the change of your Christian experience, does it all add up? If it doesn't, at our staff at Faith Community Church and other leaders within our congregation are dying to help you increase to 41 cents. So we encourage you to continue to pray, to continue to seek, continue to be open for opportunities, because there's going to be plenty of opportunities. What's yet to be undetermined, unwritten, is will you reach out for that coin? Will you add that to your pile? But how I really want to close this morning is I want to go back to this idea of, do you know that you matter to God? Because there's some of us who we're not Christians. We've never had a confession to Christ. We've never put our trust in Christ. And you need to know this morning, before you leave, that the God of the universe, even though this whole world turned from him, sent his son to die in our place, to rescue us from the fallen, broken state that all of us experience as human beings. And you and I can be encouraged to join into that family of God, that people of God, by simply reaching out to Jesus in faith. Some of us may be here this morning and we need to reach out to Jesus for the first time and to be included into God's family. But there's some of us, we're Christians, we've been walking with God, but life has absolutely demolished us. We feel like there is no hope. We feel like a ton of bricks have just fallen over us. We're paralyzed, we're immobile, and we don't see that there is a way out. This morning, you and I need to hear that we matter to God. That we're not an accident, that we're not junk, that God calls us his beloved. And we need to be encouraged this morning. So I'm going to have Brian come forward and just play something on piano. And what I'd like to do is I just want to minister to one another as a people of God. Because I do get the sense that perhaps someone needs to be lifted by that reality this morning, that you know that you matter, and that you matter deeply to the God of the universe. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close in prayer. And if you need prayer for any of those areas, if you want to become a Christian, you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, you know that you need God. You need to be forgiven. You need to be included into the family of God. If you've never done that in your life, I encourage you, after I'm done praying, just to slip forward to the front of the church here, just so we can talk to you and chat with you about it and pray with you. So we can tell you more information and share all the news with you of why one would want to do that. And so we could pray for you, encourage you. But there's some of us, once again, we're on the path, we're walking with Jesus, but we've been crushed lately. And we need to hear once again that we matter deeply to God. And we need prayer. We need to be encouraged. I encourage you as well, after I'm done praying, if you could just slip forward and just come to the forward, either myself or some of our leaders would come and just come alongside you. You could share as little or as much as you want. But we simply want to pray for you and minister to you in this time. So that everyone, as we leave this room this morning, as we engage the world around us, can know that we are deeply, deeply loved by God. And He's deeply invested in every single one of us. So let's pray this morning. God, we cherish how much You love Your people. We cherish how, though You're the God of the universe, You hold all things by Your mere words, You still care for each one of us. You know the very details of who we are. And even though others have told us, and life has tried to suggest that we don't matter, that we can be tossed to the side, we believe this morning that because of Christ, You give this huge affirmation over the whole world, over every life, that they matter. And so God, this morning, for any of my friends who've been absolutely decimated by doubt and frustration and fear and pain and discouragement, may this be a morning of resurrection. May this be a morning where they are lifted up, where they could shake off the chains, where they could see the clouds move again and see the sun shine through again with brilliance. May they see something well up in their hearts of joy, because the God of the universe cares for them. Lord, this morning, would You come and speak to those who need to be lifted and encouraged this morning? I ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. I encourage you to be dismissed at this time, but if you'd like prayer, I want you just to slip forward now so that we can pray and minister to one another. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming this morning.